not days. But once they've dispersed off of the corians, then they're ready to go into the bioassay. And we take our purified proteins and we incorporate them homogeneously into a commercially available laboratory diet. And then we dispense that diet into 96 well plate, and it's a 7-day assay, and our endpoints are either mortality, and if the other endpoint potentially is larval weight, if mortality doesn't occur. Just some more specifics about the assay itself. When we ran this, we do it with 40 reps in a completely randomized design. Some more specifics about the diet itself. This is a commercially available ladybird beetle diet. You can buy it from BioServe, and there's a product number up there if you're interested in ordering some up. It's auger-based, so auger holds the matrix together, but we use low-melt auger because we have to remember that many proteins are sensitive to heat. As Michael pointed out, we need to be sensitive about the temperature in which we incorporate our test substance. To maintain the integrity of the test substance. We also use an antibiotic in the diet to keep it clean over the 7 days. And the only other component then would be the water or buffer that you use to solubilize your test substance. And this is just what the assay might look like. You can obviously tell that's not a completely randomized design. This is a plate used for screening positive controls. But in the course of 7 days, at 25 degrees C, we can easily get through 2 molts, and we see 30 instars in there that are happy as little clams in that little microenvironment. You know, if you're running studies under GLP, or even if, you know, you're just doing very rigorous laboratory bioassay, test substance characterization is a big piece of what you do. And Marco and Alan and others have already talked about characterizing your test substance well, and that includes, you know, testing that your test substance is biologically active, confirming the dose that you've administered, administering it in a homogeneous manner so your test organisms cannot pick and choose and you know that exposure took place, and also testing for stability in the assay system itself. Now, every protein will act differently, but in this particular diet, there's none of the ingredients immediately raise red flags about stability of proteins. But what we can't do is think of diets as inner carriers of test substances. You have to characterize what that means. We learned that very quickly with the aureus diet, which was the rearing diet for aureus is a meat-based diet, and enzymatically it's very active, and you can spike your test substance in there, and it will be gone in 30 minutes. So far we've put quite a few proteins through this, and they seem to act pretty stable in this diet matrix. We're always concerned about statistical power. If something happens or doesn't happen, we want to make sure we had the ability to pick it up. And so we've run this study many times just to try to capture the variability in our hands, of course. No, we haven't ring tested this, but standard deviations ranging from 0.5, 0.8 up to 1.1. We have a pretty good probability of at least detecting a 20% decrease in larval weight in this assay system in our hands. So moving now to a Tier 2 type study, and I guess I would also say that this assay system is probably amenable to Tier 1 as well. You might be able to use this assay system to deliver a purified protein. But in this example, we're delivering maize pollen as the test substance, a Tier 2 study, so we're going to use a relevant protein source. In this case, it's maize pollen. Again, we're using neonates, but since we don't have that added safety factor, we don't have that 10x when we usually are screening purified proteins, we're testing at 10 times the estimated environmental concentration because we want to factor in a safety factor, basically. But we don't have that here because we're testing at relevant exposures, and so the length of this assay is a little bit longer. It spans from neonates all the way through adult emergence. And, you know, there's tons in the literature published about the nutritional quality of maize pollen. And one of the endearing qualities that I might have mentioned about CMAC is that it really can do very, very well feeding on maize pollen. In fact, you can rear them all the way to adult. The problem is you do incur quite a bit of mortality. It is not quite nutritionally perfect enough to rear very healthy adults on. And so we supplement that diet. But still, we're very concerned about homogenizing our test substance and the homogeneity of the delivery. And so at first we were thinking, okay, we can supplement with aphids, we can supplement with corn earworm eggs, but, you know, if I chuck a bunch of corn earworm eggs with the corn pollen, then it's like handing you a basketball or a marble and saying, you know, if you don't want to eat one of those things, you can easily differentiate by size. those two components of the diet. So the picture that you're looking at up there is actually a homogenized diet where we took corn pollen and mixed it with decorionized and lyophilized and ground corn earworm eggs. And it does beautifully. It's a great addition. It certainly gives CMAC the additional nutrients that they need for normal growth and development. And in this assay, our endpoints are any mortality, rate of larval development, and resulting adult weight. Now, when we were working up this test system, we actually looked at a lot of different ways that we might be able to deliver pollen or plant material. And the first bar on your left is the laboratory diet. That's just the commercially available diet. The second one is the egg pollen diet that we just talked about. The third one is just the pollen alone. And the fourth one is pollen diet that's supplemented with aphids. And you really don't have to add a whole lot of aphids. We put one in after when we first initiated the assay, and then one after following each molt. And again, this is things, if you've followed CMAC in the literature, that we already know that the pollen diet, we incurred quite a bit of mortality, but some supplementation of that diet, we can really get those mortality rates under control and at acceptable levels to make the assay robust. As far as adult weight is concerned on the y-axis, the egg pollen diet did produce the heaviest adults. The lightest adults were feeding on the pollen diet, of course, and intermediate result with the lab diet and the pollen diet supplemented with aphids. Just an example of some of the kind of abnormalities that one might see in a pollen-only diet. Actually, you do have quite a bit of success getting most of them to pupation. The problem is getting through the pupal phase, and so you see a lot of half-formed adults, and the pupae just are not viable, and they don't emerge. All right, so I was thinking, and we were all thinking, you know, it's great. Adding earworm eggs is great. You get a nice homogenous diet. But, you know, if we're talking about harmonization, again, it comes back to how easy is that for everybody to do, and who does everyone have access to corn earworm eggs? And going through the process of decorionizing them and lyophilizing and grinding them is kind of laborious, and how could you make that a lot easier? So I went down to the lab, and I said, Jared, what could we get that we could just pull off the shelf that we could use to make a nice, nutritionally complete homogenous diet? And he's like, well, that's easy. We use brine shrimp eggs in our colony all the time. They do beautifully on it. So what Jared did was take decapsulated brine shrimp, Artemia eggs, brine shrimp eggs, and they're decapsulated at the manufacturer, and they're dried, and you can grind them into a fine powder, and it's the same product time after time. You can order it on the internet. I think anybody, they're not viable, so I think anybody could get these things. And he just did a dilution series just to look at the effect of homogenizing Artemia eggs with corn pollen. And this was just a screening study, so it didn't have a lot of reps, but there's some interesting trends here. On the x-axis on the left here, you see 100% corn pollen, and then the dilution, 90, 75, 50, 25, 10, 0%, and 0% pollen here on the right, and 100% Artemia eggs. And the yellow line, of course, represents mortality, and in this particular genotype, nobody survived to adulthood feeding exclusively on pollen. And at 90% pollen, we had 50% mortality. But once we got past that to 75% or less, things started to even out a bit for overall mortality. A couple trends that are interesting is that as pollen levels decrease, adult weights increase, but that seems to level off right around 50%. And as pollen levels decrease, the rate of development increases. And again, that seems to level off here between 50% and 25%. Now, the diet that we use with corn earworm eggs and pollen, we mixed at a 50-50 weight ratio, and that seemed to be supported by the literature. And they did very, very well. And the time through development, about 15 days at 25 degrees C, is about the same rate as you'd see on the corn earworm egg diet. So, seems like at a 50-50 ratio, the nutritional composition is probably optimized. I know nobody likes to see post hoc power analyses, but I did throw this up just so you have an idea that these insects do perform very well in tier 2 bioassay. This is just a look at one of the studies where we administered corn earworm egg pollen diet, and when it came to adult weight, we had a greater than 99% probability of detecting at least a 15% impact on adult weight, and a greater than 90% probability of detecting at least a 35% difference in the proportion of organisms. So in summary, I guess I'm a big fan of C. maculata, and I think most of the people who are doing NTO work in the U.S. would agree. The problem becomes is whether we can get buy-in outside of the U.S. that that's an appropriate surrogate worldwide. And I think that's the little sticky wicket that we need to get around. But it makes a great, great lab organism. It's a very common maize inhabitant, very easily reared in the laboratory, very robust in bioassay, and